Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts today, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Need to ask you to pray for me today because I certainly have a great burden right now for this country. And in fact, I wrote something that I'll share a little bit later on. I wrote it this morning. As we think of the divisions, the deaths, and the strife, and the selfishness right now that's being paraded, burning buildings down, and all that's going on, it's just a cause to be burdened. And I'll get into that in just a few moments. But now, in Acts chapter 20, would you look with me, please, at verse number 24. Verse number 24. Paul said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." This morning I want to preach on the subject, as even we've advertised and promoted as far as my message title for today, I want to address the thought today, speaking the truth has its consequences. And we'll look at the passage here before us to see the context of that, and then we'll move on in just a moment, but let's pray briefly. Our Father in heaven, this morning we come to you in prayer. We thank you, dear Lord, for what our ears have already heard. We thank you for the wonderful music today that's exalted our Savior. Now, Father in heaven, speak to our hearts at this hour. And God, our hearts hurt today because of our country, because of how it suffers, and because of how it is sick in so many ways. Now, Lord, today, I pray your blessings upon this unworthy servant as I attempt to stand here and preach. I pray that the message today will find lodging in people's hearts and meet needs today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking the truth has its consequences. We can begin today by examining the context here before us. The Apostle Paul preached the truth. He spoke the truth. He was loved by his friends, but he was hated by his enemies. The truth that he preached did not go over too well in the ears of his critics. It did not go over too well in the ears of those that did not preach the gospel, that did not endorse the same doctrine. In fact, consequently, eventually this man, the great Apostle Paul, would find himself en route to Rome, and he would spend the last days of his life incarcerated, and eventually would lose his life for the gospel's sake. Now here in Acts chapter 20, we have the farewell address of Paul as he gets the Ephesian elders together. He prepares to leave to go to Jerusalem, and he recaps a little bit of his ministry that he's had there. We notice his resolve, verse number 24, his resolve. He said that I might finish my course with joy. That was his resolve. His resolve was to finish what God enabled him to start. His resolve was to fight a good fight, finish the course, keep the faith. His resolve was to complete the ministry, the mission that God had mapped out for him. That was his resolve. Verse number 25, he speaks about his removal. He said, "You'll see my face no more." His removal here in this context is simply saying he's leaving them. He's going elsewhere. The ministry would call him somewhere else. But he's being removed from their presence, removed from their sight. He's being placed in another strategic position. Then we see his record in verse number 26. Wherefore I take to you to record this day, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. His record was a good one. Amen. He had preached the truth. He had delivered the gospel. There was no blood to be found on his hand. He'd been a faithful servant of the gospel of Christ. Verse number 27, we see his refusal. His refusal. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. His refusal. He simply refused to compromise the truth. He refused to water down the message. He refused to cut corners. He refused to mishandle the Word of God. He reviews a ministry there among Ephesus, there with the Ephesians. He looks at that ministry. He reviews it that it had been a ministry of tears. It had been a ministry of toil. But it had been a ministry of truth. The whole truth concerning the gospel had been delivered by this servant of God, resulting in mixed reviews. Resulting in the fact that he had been misunderstood, he had been mishandled, he had been falsely accused, and so the reviews that he received from his straight preaching the truth was mixed reviews. It included love, and it included hate. The truth, by the way, what is the truth, we ask? Well, we could talk about the gospel truth. We could talk about doctrinal truth. But you know, let me bring this down now to a practical level. You know, the truth is defined as something that is real. Something that is real. You and I today ought to be real. Amen. We should be known as men and women of truth. We should be trusted for what we say. Honesty and integrity are ingrained in good character. And we need to always remember that. Honesty and integrity. We should mean what we say, say what we mean. We should walk uprightly. People should be able to trust our words. Amen. We should not be deceitful. That's right. We should be open. We should live and speak the truth, but always to understand that the truth does hurt and ruffle feathers. Amen. There are consequences to speaking the truth. We all know that, don't we? Every one of you today know there are consequences to speaking the truth. I can look back over my life and I think of many consequences. I think of how the truth does not always land on good ears. I think about how the truth sometimes can divide. I think of how sometimes people get hurt because of the truth, and it's not because the truth isn't good. It's because for those that will not receive it, the attitude is not good. You see, the truth hurts and ruffles feathers many times. But yet it's also important not only to give the truth, but it's important how we speak. Not only the matter of speaking the truth, but it's a matter of how we speak that truth. Yes. We contend for the faith, but we should never be contentious. Tone says a lot. In fact, how many of you today have dogs, have a little dog in your house? How many? Is it a fair question if I would ask you that does a dog bark different ways in accordance to what might be going on? Now, have you ever had, and I used to call it sometimes, have you ever heard of the old proverbial neighborhood dog? The old proverbial neighborhood dog is a dog that belongs to someone else. And that dog will come into your yard and bark. In other words, it really doesn't have any business in your yard to start with, but it just barks for no reason. Have you ever had a dog that you could tell when it was barking it meant business? I've had dogs before, in a certain way they barked, it put me alert. because I'd about to have my leg chewed off if I didn't get out of their way. And you know, some of the worst characters in terms of vicious dogs have been the little ones, not the big ones, the little ones. I used to deliver newspapers. Started out years ago when I was just a kid, I'd sell Grit magazine. I can still remember Grit. Any of y'all remember Grit magazine? I sold Grit magazine. I rode my bicycle for miles and miles. And if I'd make a dollar after the day was over, I was doing well. I think back then, I think the Grit magazine, I believe it cost a quarter. And I believe my commission for selling the magazine was a nickel of grit. I believe that's how that worked. So needless to say, I didn't get rich selling grit. But I will say this, the dogs that used to give me a fit when I rode my bicycle was those little chihuahuas. I mean, I believe them things were born mad. They were born with an attitude. I mean, you don't have to teach a chihuahua to get mad at you. It's born that way. But you know, coming back now to my message, we need to speak the truth, but we also need to be conscious of our attitude, of our tone. You know, there are people who are rather proud of the fact that their attitude may not be right as they speak the truth, but they don't seem to care how other people think. For example, some people will say, well, people just going to have to accept me just like I am. Or, you know, I'm what I am. You know, it's okay to be honest, but it's not okay to be obnoxious.
Amen.
Some people can be rude, crude, and disrespectful towards the feelings of others. It would do us all well to keep in mind what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse number 15, where he said, we speak the truth in love. In love. I've heard years ago, the old story, I've used it many times. You can scare people off with a good thing. You can hurt people with something that is actually good for them. Mm-hmm. It depends on how you administer it.
Yes.
It's like farmers. You and I know. We can lay the corn on the ground and the chickens will come up and pick it up and eat it. Or we can take a handful of corn and throw it at the chickens and they'll run. But the corn's still good for them. People need to hear the truth. But God's people especially need to handle the truth with a tone of love and compassion.
Amen.
When we administer that truth. Some will respect the truth. And here's what I want to say. When it comes to the truth, yes, there's consequences. Some will respect the truth. Some will resent the truth. But all are better off because of the truth.
Amen.
The truth has a tendency to make people mad, sad, or glad at any given time. Mad if you don't want to accept it. Sad sometimes because the truth does bear down on where we are, what we need, and what we currently don't have. Or truth can make us glad if we're willing to accept it. Or if we're living for God and hear the truth within our souls, we're saying amen anyway. Because any Christian on the right spiritual footing will always amen the truth.
That's right.
Because it's the truth that sets us free. And it's the truth that regulates us anyway. Some withhold the truth. And here's where we get into a danger area. What I'm doing here, you probably know something. I'm actually, while I'm intending on preaching my message with the thought that I mentioned, I'm actually kind of getting into a little psychological realm, I guess you could say, sort of a counseling realm as well, because we need to hear this.
Yes.
Some people, and I've seen this down through the years, some people withhold the truth to avoid hurting people's feelings. And that turns out to be, you ready for this? That's what you call wrong, silent instruction. When you withhold the truth to avoid hurting people's feelings. Because here's what happens. And this is especially true in homes with young couples as they raise their families. Sometimes, in fact, invariably, kids need not only instruction, they need discipline. They need correction. And when you have parents that reach over too far, that are overly sensitive themselves because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, they begin to soft soap. They begin to let the kids do what they want to do. And that's poor, solid instruction because the child grows up thinking, I was okay all the time. And that's not going to help them to develop, be a good adult, responsible adult. I'll tell you, it's critical how parents raise their kids. Parents need to administer love, instruction, discipline, and correction, and to concentrate on being a better parent than a best friend. You've heard that said, that's true. Parents need to focus on being a good parent before they become a good friend.
Yes.
Because parenting involves instruction. It involves discipline. It involves guidance in the right direction.
Yeah.
But you can have two old friends sitting around drinking a beer, not accomplishing anything except getting drunk. I mean, friends do that. But God help us today in America. We need parents.
Yes.
That will do literally what the Bible says. Raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yes.
Paul preached the truth of the gospel. His friends loved him, but his enemies hated him. He got into trouble because of what he said, but it was the truth. They still needed to hear it. He spoke discreetly. He spoke honestly. He spoke accurately in terms of the gospel truth. You know, words can help or hurt. They can. We need to think before we speak.
Amen.
James says this about this.
Amen.
I figured Brother Calvin would amen that point. Brother Calvin likes to talk about that passage in James, doesn't he? And rightly so, Brother Calvin.
Amen.
Tongue's a serious little organ.
Amen.
Oh, is it serious? My goodness, no bigger than what it is. You think of how that one little single small organ has done so much good or done so much evil.
Amen.
You think about it. No wonder James says it's uncontrollable.
Yeah.
Chapter 3, verse 8. Some people have a way, it seems like, getting into trouble every time they open their mouths. Words can do a lot. Words can cause peace or war. Words can lead to matrimony or divorce. Words can make friends or cause enemies. Speech is like a camera. It gives a visual of a person.
Amen.
Speech. Some people, and I'm thinking of a guy in particular. I'm not even going to mention his name. You would know him anyway. But I still think of this guy. And Carol knows who I'm talking about. This guy was respectable. He's a nice fella. He's in heaven now. One of my best friends. This old fella, though. I mean, he'd dress up. I mean, he had that church look when he'd come to church. He'd dress up. I mean, he just looked like a southern gentleman. I mean, he was one of the finest looking specimens of a southern gentleman I ever know. But boy, when he opened his mouth, and I'm not talking about bad things. I'm just saying that guy looked pretty smart until he started talking. I mean, you'd thought he'd come from the backside of Potok Junction when he talked. I believe that old fella invented being country. I think he was okay until he started talking. You ever know people like that? You know, some people look pretty smart until they open their mouths. And I think of how comedians have messed things up. You know, many comedians would be a lot funnier if they didn't talk. They need to go back to Three Stooges type of humor.
Yes.
Brother Tony, you know, how you do that? There you go. Slapstick. I remember when I was in Iraq, I remember a smutty mouth comedian, so-called, came to Iraq to entertain the troops. I still remember this. This guy's popular. Everybody knows him. And there at the base where I was stationed, troops gathered around, and that comedian got out front and started his talking. He didn't get 5 minutes into his entertainment till he got smutty, and I just got up and walked out. And that's how he is. You see, what people have to say when people open their mouths, that's a camera that shows a person what they really are.
Amen.
Some people convey pride in talking too. Pride. You know what I mean by that? You know, some people, you can tell how they talk. They got pride. How can you tell, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's a form of subtle pride that a lot of people don't think about. But I view it as a little bit of a prideful thing. People who dominate conversations. They'd rather hear themselves speak. That's a subtle form of pride. Beware of people that do all the talking and never ask questions. I was taught years ago in school that any good sentence needs a period every now and then.
Yeah.
I've known people that have talked the legs off a three-legged stool. You have a conversation with them, you're fortunate. If you even get a syllable in, they do all the talk. No one knows that much. In fact, I've learned this. That a mark of a truly intelligent, smart person is they ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. They never get tired of learning. They have the humility to admit there's a lot they need to know yet. In fact, people that talk all the time will wear you out. I mean, some people, you just literally, you hate to get involved in a conversation because you can't get a word in. I believe it's a pride issue.
Amen.
Take it for what it's worth. Because it's people that think that they have all of the answers, and so they'll do the talking. We appreciate people who value what we have to say, don't we? Proverbs 25:11, put this picture in your mind. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That's a rare portrait, isn't it? I heard of an illustration of this young man who wanted to be an artist. He drew a picture, and he happened to have a wealthy friend who felt sorry for him. And his wealthy friend purchased the picture from him. And the wealthy friend took that picture and put it in a very expensive picture frame and placed it on his wall. Well, it so happened, someone broke in that rich man's house and was in the process of trying to find things to steal. But about that time, the burglar alarm went off. And about the only thing that thief had captured was that picture. And so the poor man that had painted that picture, he was feeling pretty good as he's being told that. He thought, why? Somebody now is going to see that picture, or people now will know that of all of the things inside that house, he chose my picture. And then the wealthy man told him, he said, well, I got to tell you something. He said, the thief, he took that picture, he cut the print out, he cut the picture out, he threw it into the fire, and he left with nothing but the frame. I'd say that humbled his pride, wouldn't you? You know, Paul the apostle preached the truth. It got him into trouble, but it was good trouble. It was good. People were saved. Lives were blessed. Churches were established. And above all, God was pleased. If speaking the truth gets us in trouble in that way, then so be it. We need more people today who will deliver the truth regardless of the consequences. The spoken truth will always be regarded with mixed response. I've learned this. I've learned that spiritually minded, godly people respect and want the whole truth. You know, the Bible covers a lot of subjects, doesn't it? The Bible has different doctrines. There's various doctrines that we have to teach and we have to preach. We preach gladly a sermon on heaven. We preach gladly a sermon on comfort. We love to preach about the promises of the Bible. We love to share the truths that God takes care of His people. We love those truths. We love to talk about the heaven to gain. But any preacher worth his salt has to preach the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
We still have to warn the wicked of the error of their way.
Yeah.
We preach heaven hot or heaven sweet but hell hot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We warn the sinner. We still have to preach repentance. We still have to remember that at any given time, you have people in different spiritual footings that attend our churches. We preach with tears in our eyes sometimes, but sometimes with fire in our voices. Paul said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Nowadays, many people label rebuking aspect of preaching as negative preaching. But any preacher true to his calling will exhort, reprove, and rebuke.
Amen.
Some preachers, to avoid controversy, and we know this, will always stick to soothing messages. It's true. No audience will ever lack the suffering and the hurting. But it's also true that no audience will ever lack in having sinners, uncommitted Christians, who need preachers to challenge them as well. Sinners need to be told to repent, and carnal Christians need to be taught there's a price tag for carnality.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Pastors who really love their churches will lead the sheep while warning of the wolves that threaten them, including the threat of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We must preach the whole counsel of God.
Yes.
We must. And good meaning, godly people within a church, I've learned down through the years, always appreciate that. We have people of that caliber at Smith Grove. And you know, that's one of the, you know, sometimes I look at it like this. You know, sometimes pastors complain. Churches complain. We say, where are all the young people? Where's all the teenagers? And we need them, don't we?
Amen.
But you know what? I'm getting to where I appreciate more and more old-fashioned Christianity.
Yeah.
Solid Christians that have come up the old-fashioned way, embracing the truth and respecting the truth. And are not endorsing every whim that comes down the pike. I thank God today for the godly, old-fashioned, godly people that make up this congregation that can recognize a sermon when they hear it. That's what I'm saying. Sinners need to be told to repent. Christians that are backslidden need to be told to repent because there is a price tag. You know, if you do a case study, here's interesting, and I've got to wind down here shortly. If you do a case study on the preaching of Paul, you'll find mixed response to his preaching. He leaves Ephesus in tears. They hugged him. They appreciated the truth. His mouth still got him into trouble with the religious hierarchy. He was destined to die in Rome for the gospel's sake. We could say that Paul had mixed reviews, couldn't we, in terms of his ministry. Amen. Now, the gospel is a good news concerning Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus arose again.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that good news is what people desperately need to hear. You know, as I was thinking on this and studying, and this morning especially, I was sitting in my office, and I got to thinking about the state of our country, like all of you are thinking about it. I cut on my television set like you do, and I see all of these cities right now that are being ravaged by thugs. It's not about the death of that young man that was killed, and he was wrongly killed, and no one endorses what that particular one bad apple in the basket did. That was wrong. But two wrongs don't make a right.
Right.
And as we cut on our TV set, and we see America burning down in a sense, people burning businesses, police cars being flamed, and rioting, people breaking in stores and stealing. It crossed my mind this morning, and I wrote these words on paper because I thought about America. And the thought came to my mind, the soul of America is sick today.
Yes.
And you know, let me preface before I even read this what the answer is. America needs the truth.
Yes.
America needs the gospel. America needs a great awakening. America needs to hear the pure truth of God's word and respond to it. But the soul of America is sick. America today is a sick nation. It is sick down to the soul. Its sickness is compound, for it suffers in many ways at the same time. It tries to grieve over its losses of thousands who have fallen victim to the great virus, but is unable to find closure to its grieving because of another virus interruption. America's like the man in the gospel who went down to Jericho. Nothing is known for the reason for the journey that that man took. One could assume that he went down to Jericho out of interest for his family, though that's not mentioned. It could be he was a family man going to Jericho to do some trading. It could be the only reason he traveled the Jericho Road was out of a selfless interest in others, in his family. Perhaps he was simply going down to trade or to have dealings, which would have been a means for providing for his own. We can imagine that he's simply minding his business and out to provide for his own. A tragedy happens to this good-meaning traveler. He falls among thieves who rob him, wound him, and leave him dying on the side of the road. America today is like that poor man. We lie on the side of the road dying. We suffer together as a family. We too have been robbed. We're like Job of old. We can hardly complete the grieving process over one loss because of the rapid occurrence of other losses.
Yeah.
Our founders, incidentally, had noble and good plans for the family constituting our wonderful country. They envisioned this family as being healthier and stronger when given basic rights and freedoms. They attempted to dignify this family by granting them the right to worship God and to be good, hardworking, honest people. This family today is a sick family. Our cherished, God-given, and constitutional rights have been hijacked. And now we are like the helpless man on the side of the road. Our only desire is to mind our own business and provide for our own. But we can't because of the thieves who want what we have. We as a country have built our businesses. We've stocked our shelves, not for only ourselves, but out of love for our country. We have also cherished the free enterprise system that provides jobs and goods for the rest of the quote-unquote family. We're dying by the roadside with multiple threats. Our country is both physically and ideologically sick. We suffer from a pandemic while our businesses burn and our stores are looted. The wonderful news is that the gospel story that we read about ends well. It gives the fact of the rescue of the poor beaten traveler, a kind, caring stranger, who just happened to come by. He just happened to come down the same road. He lovingly walked over to the beaten man. He stooped down. He ministered to his wounds. He even brought him to the inn and took care of him. Our country today is sick down deep in its soul. And our only real hope is in the love and grace of the Good Samaritan, who alone has the right remedy for our sickness. America today is dying on the side of the road, and Samaritans are showing up with the truth of the gospel message. The great question will be, am I going to take this gospel medicine to my soul? You know, yes, I'm burdened today. I'm like the rest of you. I'm concerned today. We have a nation that's suffering enough already. We have churches that are closed. We have some churches partially open. We have thousands of people that have died. We have people being impacted all around us from the virus. And then on the top of that, we cut on our television sets. We see cities burning. We see a lack of care. We see prideful, arrogant people who are members of these gangs who care nothing at all about the man that got killed or his legacy. They're only thinking of their own agenda and their own ideology. I believe today America needs to weep. But even beyond that, America needs to get on its knees today. Oh, how we need the grace of the Good Samaritan. Oh, how we need him by our side. Oh, how we need him to take care of our wounds. Nothing short of the medicine out of his chest of grace will apply the healing balm to the soul of America. But it comes down to individuals today. The truth does hurt. There are consequences in what we say, but we need the consequences if they're flowing from the truth, because the truth is what sets free. Let's pray. Our Father, today we come together, and I stand here today not desiring to entertain, but to simply preach the message that I believe our church and those that listen need to hear. Heavenly Father, today, if there's anyone listening to me that has the virus of the soul, the sickness of the soul, the sin issue, because of unbelief, may they right now, may they call upon God and ask for His healing medicine, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray that right now, even those that are watching this program, this message over Facebook, would take the time even now, maybe it's time to even cut the computer off and get on the knees and pray for America. Pray for the hurt. Pray because of the sin issue. Oh God, today we're a sick country that needs the gospel. And I pray today we might start with ourselves. It could even be people here within this church that maybe want to just come to this altar right now and just pray. That's fine too. And just get around the altar and pray for revival. Oh God, today, how we need you more than ever before. Please bless and help and use this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Until this coming Wednesday, God bless.